As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more 5-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain. This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today. Today, I really had the pleasure of talking with Amer Awadalla, who is one of the co-founders of Cloudera. Cloudera being one of the first companies to build on top of Hadoop and be able to take Hadoop commercial so that it could actually reach the world and be used in various different industries. They have some incredible stories about who is using Hadoop today and how they're using it in order to calculate big data. So Amer, he was early at Yahoo. He ran a large team at Yahoo who was focused on data. And then he saw the emergence of Hadoop and the difference it made in Yahoo, like taking processes that were taking 18 hours down to 5 minutes. And he was right there at the forefront. So we talk about that. We talk about the emergence of Hadoop. We talk about what he's doing at Cloudera today and the difference they're making in the big data industry and being able to bring the big data industry to new and really exciting frontiers. So I really think you're going to enjoy this. If you listen to Wednesday's episode, you've heard some clips, but there's so much more in this full interview. So stay tuned. We'll get right into it. Welcome to Rocketship.fm, the podcast where we explore startups from funding to growth, from culture to sales, and everything in between. I'm Michael Saka.
And I'm Joelle Goldman.
So, yes, it started in the summer of 2008. So, actually, we just hit 8 years old right now. And I come from Yahoo. So, I used to work at Yahoo. And at Yahoo, I was responsible for a large team that does business intelligence and data analytics. I had a very standard business intelligence data pipeline. And then I, in about 2006, was having a number of problems with that system, where it just was not fast enough in terms of processing power. It was not flexible enough in terms of dealing with new types of data, not just structured data. And it was not easy to consume data. We only could consume data using SQL, and we wanted to do more advanced kind of data science stuff. So I need a new solution, and I was lucky that while at Yahoo, I bumped into Doug Cutting, who is the creator of Hadoop, and he works at Cloudera now as well. And Doug was building Hadoop in the open source at Yahoo as part of the team that was doing that for web search on how to go and index the web and crawl the web to create the search index. But when I described to him the problems that I have with scale, with flexibility, with ability to go beyond SQL, he said, this is exactly what Hadoop is for. You should try this as well. And I took Hadoop and I tried it in my group, and lo and behold, it actually did fix all of my problems. I had some data processing pipelines that would take like 9 hours, and when I moved them to Hadoop, they would finish in 5 minutes.
Wow.
So yeah, it was just like mind staggering, essentially.
Yeah.
And that's when, by the end of that journey, which was a two-year journey from 2006 to 2008, was very clear that Hadoop is a very powerful tool beyond just web search. It's going to be something that's going to change data systems worldwide. And that's when I left. And then I joined Accel Partners as an entrepreneur in residence.
Oh, nice.
So the way that came about is one of my managers at Yahoo, his name is Andrew Barasha, he had left Yahoo about a year earlier and joined Accel as a VC partner over there. So when he heard that I was leaving Yahoo, he said, hey, you should come over here and work as an EIR. The EIR is a very nice gig where you get to work with the VC, you get to see other companies pitching. In exchange, you get to pitch to them first. So they really want to have the first view of whatever new idea you're coming up with, as opposed to you going around and chopping it around to many, many VCs.
Mm.
And a number of the VCs in the Valley do that. And then while I was there, one of my co-founders, Jeff Hammerbacker from Facebook, he had done the same thing at Facebook. He was the first guy on the data science team at Facebook, and he also has been suffering with data growing very quickly. He had adopted Hadoop and just saw how powerful it is. And then he also had left Facebook and joined Accel Partner in 2008 as an EIR as well. So I got to meet Jeff, and then I and Jeff, we were going to go and start a company around this. But then Accel heard about these two other guys who were thinking about doing the exact same thing. And we were the only people in the whole world thinking about doing this. Right,
right. So, right.
Being the investor optimizers that they are, they pointed out that, hey, you guys should talk together and see if you can join forces, because it's much better to have one company so early to lead the market as opposed to fighting over the market. So we met with the other guys. They were Mike Olson, my co-founder, and he's our current chairman. And Mike Olson was at Oracle before that. He had sold his company, Sleepy Cat, to Oracle. And then Christoph Bishilia from Google. So they were the two other guys. So we dated. We went out with each other for about 4 weeks. We would go out on dinners. We would go out for coffee.
Yeah.
We would go drinks. And then we would sit in rooms and brainstorm and make sure we can actually have constructive arguments and essentially fight, but without getting angry at each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And overall, it kind of, we gelled very well as a team. And we decided, let's do it together. And we completed each other in many ways. So Jeff brings in the data science angle. Jeff is one of the, in fact, Jeff came up with the term data science. Like,
wow.
He made up the term. And then I brought in the engineering data systems angle. Mike Olson brought in the open source executive angle. So Mike Olson, he was CEO and founder of Sleepy Cat, which was one of the very first companies in the world to do open source. And then Christoph Bishilia brought in the academia and training angle. So at Google, he was responsible for training different universities about how to use MapReduce, which is very important because Google wants to hire that skill set. So we completed each other in many ways. And we, in October 2008, that's when we went in to Excel and we did the pitch. And we were very fortunate that Excel did fund us during that time, because October 2008, that's when the financial markets were melting down. It was horrible.
That's right. Yeah. Worst time to start. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but despite that, they absolutely saw how big the vision is and how big data can truly change the world. And by the way, it wasn't even called big data back then. The term the big data did not exist yet.
It's just data. Yeah.
Yeah. Just data back then. I mean, we are partially to blame, like a lot of our marketing.
I know, you hear it all the time. We don't even know what big data is anymore.
Yeah.
Right. When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And, backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com. This episode is brought to you by Yahoo Finance. Wouldn't it be great if you could see all of your investment and retirement accounts in one place? With Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate your views with multiple accounts into one hub and access the expert analysis you need to tend to your entire portfolio with confidence. Honestly, this has been a lifesaver for me. I've used Yahoo Finance to consolidate all of my various 401k and investment accounts so I can see everything all in one place. And it makes it incredibly easy to manage. So if you're struggling with that, check out Yahoo Finance. For over 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart a great investor, and that's how Yahoo Finance ensures that you have the insights to look at your wealth in its entirety. So go to yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination.
So, but that's kind of the story, yeah, of how we came together.
So what was the kind of the first challenge, or was the, I should ask first, was there a like a model for monetizing open source at the time? Had another company done it? Like, now we have you know, Nojitsu and companies that have built on top of Node, but was there one at the time that you guys were looking at?
So the only successful open source company, successful by being a long-standing business, mm-hmm. open source company, was Red Hat, and they were the only one that were really able to do it. There was many other open source successes, but they all ended up in being acquired. So MySQL is a very famous example. ZenSource is another famous example. They weren't able to create a financial engine that is lasting. And the reason why is open source is free. So, right. So when you have an open source foundation that's free, you can very quickly, unless you have market dominance, which Red Hat was lucky to have, very quickly you will see many other competitors jump in and just do the same thing, because they can just take your code and do it. Everything you do is free and open. So it becomes very hard to create a long-term sustainable business on pure 100% open source. Again, the only fluke of nature that was able to do it is Red Hat. And if you really look at the Red Hat story, the reason why they were able to do it is they were able to achieve market dominance very quickly. And once you achieve market dominance, then it becomes very hard for anybody else to come after you, because you're the brand leader. And so when we were creating Cloudera, we were very cognizant of that. And we knew that open source is at our core, and we truly believe in the open source mission and how it enables innovation and how it enables easier marketing with developers. They download you and use you, and that's definitely very, very useful. But at the same time, we are very aware that once we start showing success, many other people will jump in and say, hey, we can do it too, including big companies like IBM, or even the large SI solution integration firms. So from the beginning, we very quickly created the business model of having both open source, but also having value-added tools on top of the open source that are proprietary and that are not part of the open source that you only get as part of your relationship with Caldera. Mm-hmm. So when you have a relationship with Caldera, it's not just about can I get support on the software, which is the open source software, but can I also get access to these tools that makes it much more easier to deploy the software in production, to monitor it, to troubleshoot it, to secure it, to do backup and disaster recovery, do metadata management, et cetera, all of these other features that you need to truly be able to extract value out of the system. And that's how you balance the relationship and really create a dynamic where it becomes very hard for other vendors to just jump into your space and say, hey, we can do it too.
So, make sense? Yeah, no, absolutely. So how did you guys, what segment of the market did you go after initially? Who were the initial customers for you guys?
So there was Hadoop, again, being open source, you get this very natural organic pull on a technology. So a lot of our early customers came to us. We didn't go to them. We are now going to customers because we want to spread this technology worldwide. But in the early days, it really was very leading institutions, whether that be in banking or in web or in government, that telecommunications as well, that just came to us and say, hey, we need help using this Hadoop stuff. Can you guys help us out? Right now, the top, we really have customers across every single vertical or industry you could think of. We have customers in agriculture. We never thought that we will have customers in agriculture when we created Caldera, but because of the Internet of Things movement and the sensors and the drones, there's now so much data being collected in the real world that every single business you could think of is a potential customer. So we have agriculture customer, we have manufacturing customers, we have health, and the health space is very, very active right now in terms of collecting data from patients. But our top segments remain the telecommunication segment, which includes web, the financial segment, so that's banks and insurance companies, and then government. And government is not just the three-letter agencies. Government is also like tax authority, like medical system management or plans, stuff like that.
And the space now, you know, the kind of NoSQL space is there's a couple more options. Is Hadoop still the best option for large data sets?
So it depends on what you're trying to do. So yeah, you have to keep in mind that Hadoop is not just now, like there is the Hadoop Genesis, the original project that happened 10 years ago. Hadoop is 10 years old.
Yeah.
But there is a whole ecosystem now that evolved around Hadoop that made it much richer. So for example, very recently, 2 years ago, Spark became part of our distribution. And Spark is this very, very powerful new computational framework that leverages memory and significantly reduces times for doing data processing. But our ecosystem overall is focused more on analytics, so data science and analytics, which is very different than doing an online data store that's serving back traffic and serving back real transactions in the live website. That is where the NoSQL space is. And within that, we do have a component called Edgebase that speaks to that. But you're right. There is a lot more options out there for that part. There is MongoDB. There is MemSQL. There is Cassandra from DataStax. Mm-hmm. There's a number of options for the NoSQL part. But when it comes to the core analytics part, when you're doing large-scale analytics, there is no – really, Hadoop is the winner of that space. There's just nobody else competing with it right now, especially when you couple Spark with it in part of the same distribution.
Interesting, yeah. Were you involved at Yahoo at all during the open source? Like how important was that relationship between Yahoo and Hadoop and Cutting to kind of the development of where it is today?
Oh, it's very, very important. I mean, it wouldn't have happened without Yahoo. So essentially Yahoo, they were, and I was there at Yahoo, I witnessed this and saw this firsthand. Yahoo was not able to scale their web infrastructure, mm-hmm. the web search infrastructure for crawling the web and creating an index of the web. They were not able to scale the one they had, which came from Inkvimi, was a company that Yahoo acquired. And they needed to build something new. And then they saw Google publish these two papers called MapReduce and HDFS. And they were thinking about going and doing their own implementation of MapReduce and GFS was called, and the Google File System. So they were thinking about going and doing their own implementation, but then they saw duck cutting out in the open with another guy called Mike Caffarella building this thing called Hadoop, which was already doing MapReduce and GFS concepts and was far along the way and had a very active developer community. So Yahoo decided, let's go hire Doug and let's support the Hadoop project and make it a reality. So if Yahoo had not done that, Hadoop would not exist today.
Wow. Yeah. And it's what is it like working with Doug today? How have things kind of evolved since those Yahoo days, you know, now 10, 15 years later?
So, I mean, duck cutting himself now, he does work at Caldera. So yep. He joined us about a year after we started the company. So he is full-time with us. That said, there was a number of other Hadoop developers. So there was a very big Hadoop team at Yahoo, like 80 people, 90 people.
Oh, wow.
And we hired Doug. We hired a couple of maybe a handful, five or six other from the team over there. But Yahoo spun out about 20 of these other developers into a competing company to Cloudera about 3 years after we started. That company is called Hortonworks. So they compete with us in the market right now. Yahoo themselves right now, they no longer are actively in terms of developing Hadoop. They rely more on Hortonworks for that part. Wow. That said, Yahoo is still a very, very heavy consumer of the Hadoop technology, obviously.
And are you guys still contributing to the core of Hadoop?
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What's kind of Hadoop on the horizon? What's some of the new developments that has been worked on by the community?
Yeah, so one of the very key new, it's not new, it's 2 years old, Spark. Spark obviously is one of the biggest new additions to the platform. Mm-hmm. And Spark has been growing by leaps and bounds. It's free. We look at how much of our customers are using a given technology from our distribution, and we just can see Spark just like growing. I can't share the exact numbers, but they're growing at a very, very high speed.
Okay.
We are the market leader right now when it comes to Spark on-premise deployments. But we had, and Spark was not created by Cloudera. Spark was created by the University of Berkeley, California. But we now are an active developer on Spark. Obviously, I'm part of that project. A technology that we contributed to the markets and now is becoming one of the most successful parts of our distribution is a technology called Impala, I-M-P-A-L-A. And Impala supports SQL on top of Hadoop. So Hadoop, when it started, you could only work with Hadoop with MapReduce and Java, and you had to have developers that know how to code in Java. It was very hard to use, very hard to integrate with existing BI tools like Excel or whatever, Tableau and so on. So we created this engine called the Impala engine, which is an interactive OLAP, meaning online analytical processing engine, on top of the data that you have in Hadoop. And it works directly with SQL. It works with ODBC and JDBC with all of these BI tools. So it has been one of our largest successes in the market so far. We are introducing a new open source project. We just announced it at Hadoop World. Last October, it's called Kudu, K-U-D-U.
K-U-D-U,
and,
cool.
K-U-D-U, yeah. So that's our newest introduction into the market. It's still not GA yet. It's still in beta mode right now. And Kudu essentially enables the platform to start doing transactions at the same time. So that not only is it good at doing analytics, it can do analytics on top of data that's changing, that's being updated and deleted and so it allows you to have data that is changing and still do analytics on top of that data at very, very high speeds. And that has not been done within the Hadoop ecosystem before. So that's we look at that as being a major introduction and would make the platform much more consumable by people that have data that's not just log data. Log data tends to be not changing. Log data tends to be append only, but can use it for transaction data, meaning data that's actually changing all the time. Or clickstream data where you have some of the data can come later. So you want to be able to insert that data in the right place. So it will open up a whole new set of workloads on top of the platform. So Kudu is kind of our newest edition. We have a couple of other things, but I can't mention them publicly yet.
So, I mean, that sounds exciting. I can imagine the use cases with like the live sensors as things are changing so fast today. It's an incredibly tough challenge to tackle too.
Yeah, I'll give you a couple of sensor examples from our customer base that we are very proud of. So one is with Cerner, a company called Cerner. So Cerner, they're very famous. They're a very large company, very famous in the medical software space. And using our platform, they built a predictive solution for sepsis. So what is sepsis? When you go to have a surgery, during the surgery, they might cure you from whatever problem you had, but then they might give you an infection in your bloodstream, and that's called sepsis.
Okay.
Sepsis, if you catch sepsis early, you can cure it very easily. But if you don't catch it and you let the patient go home, it's almost impossible to cure, and the patient actually dies from that. So it's very important to catch it, but the problem is sometimes you're not sure whether it's happening or not. And they built a solution that uses Spark and does predictive analytics that collects the signals from the operation before, during, and after the patient goes through the operation, and can with very high accuracy predict this patient is going to suffer from sepsis. Don't let them go home. Wow. And they saved hundreds of thousands of lives right now using this technology. Another example is the agriculture one that I mentioned earlier. It's from a company that's is one of our very special customers. It's called Monsanto, is the name of the company. Mm-hmm. And Monsanto, first, their claim to existence is they essentially say over the next 10 years, we will eat as much food as we ate in the last 10,000 years. I'll say this again. Over the next 10 years, we will eat as much food as the last 10,000 years. And that's not just me and you, obviously. That's like everybody on planet Earth, right? Continue to have a lot of babies, and we continue to live much longer than ever before, again, thanks to big data.
Yeah.
And the amount of surface area on the Earth is not expanding. The amount of surface area we can plant crops on is not expanding. So the only way to be able to solve this problem is to generate more yield, meaning get more crops out of the space that we have, by being more efficient about it, by having seeds, by new types of seeds that can grow in different seasons. So not only grow in the summer, but can grow in the summer, can grow in the spring, can grow in the fall, maybe not the winter. So make the seeds much more resilient so they can grow under different weather conditions. And by doing that, we can have much more higher yields on our crops that can satisfy that. So what they have is they have sensors in the field that they deploy with the farmers that work with them. And these sensors, they measure humidity, they measure rain conditions, temperature, sunlight conditions. They have drones that take pictures of the crops so you can see how the colors are changing. You also can see if there's any infestation from different diseases. And then they print back a heat map to the farmer that shows them the heat map. And this is what you should plant in this area of your farm. This is the type of seed you should use for this area. So essentially, it's called micro farming. For every area, for every square foot, you have a different type of seed, and you have a different type of medicine, and you have a different type of water rate that you apply to increase the yield from your farm. So again, one of the most impressive sensor network stories that I've seen out there.
Yeah, I mean, they're the largest producer of seed in the world, I think. So wow, that's incredible.
But they're going beyond. They're going beyond seeds now. So they actually, this is a new data product that they're selling. So separate from the seeds, they're selling this data product that helps the merchant do micro farming. The farmer do micro farming. So it's in addition to the seeds, not in place of.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. The amount of data they must be collecting from that too. That's so cool. What did you kind of expect these types of stories when, you know, 8 years ago when you guys founded Cloudera, coming from, you know, Yahoo and Facebook and Google?
So obviously we, the founders now in retrospect, we like to brag and say, of course we were geniuses. We saw, no, we didn't see any of this stuff. We knew that big data is going to be a big problem. So we knew the fundamentals are changing. that data volumes are going to be much bigger than before. We knew that data types are not going to be just structured data. You're going to have many other types of data because of the mobile revolution, because of the satellite revolution, and because of the sensor revolution. So we know that fundamentally things will change. We thought that our customers would only tend to be web companies, telecommunication companies, and financial institutions. We thought these were only going to be the only type of customers that we deal with.
Yeah.
But then, because of the advent of the Internet of Things, it just changed everything, where we now have customers in every single space you could think of.
Yeah, it's almost like the market reinvented itself at a certain point, and you guys were just there. Like, it's the perfect time. Yeah.
We were lucky. And for startups, timing is everything.
Yep.
Timing is everything.
Yep. Well, man, it's awesome to hear the story. I really appreciate you sharing it with us.
Sure.
Where can we keep up with you and, Cloudera online?
Yeah, so Twitter. So if you're on, and Instagram and Facebook. But if you just search for Cloudera, so it's Cloud ERA. You can see the Cloudera Twitter account or Instagram account. And then myself is my last name. So Awadalla, Awadallah.
Cool. Yeah, thank you so much. Huge thanks to Amer and the team at Cloudera who got us this interview and put it together so quickly. I really appreciate it. Go to cloudera.com to learn more about Cloudera. Maybe you can use it in your business. Big thanks to our sponsors today, Design Crowd and Segment.com. Tune in on Wednesday. We're going to bring you more from this data series. We're going to be diving into how companies use data for growth. So relevant to a lot of you out there. So tune in Wednesday. You're not going to want to miss that. If you want to keep up with us, follow us on Twitter at RocketShipFM. Go to rocketship.fm on the web. If you'd like to view all of the episodes we have, all of the interviews, all of the series in their entirety. We packaged them up really nicely there so you can digest them all. If you haven't yet, subscribe, leave us a review, and we'll see you soon. I'm Michael Sacca. You can follow me at Michael Sacca on Twitter, and Joel Goldman is at Joel Goldman. So we'll see you here in just a little bit.